Good morning, everyone. I'd like to start off by turning to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And we'll just pray before we go any further. Dear Lord God, we just thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. We thank you for your word and the privilege that we have in this country to study it freely and to share it with people that we meet and see each day. We thank you that your Holy Spirit is alive and at work in this world. We pray that you would work here this morning and that you would speak through your word and that it would be not I but Christ speaking here this morning. So we just commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'd like to speak mostly this morning on Romans chapter 8. And this is a chapter that has been a blessing to me, especially over the last year when we did Bible memorization in at the beginning of this year. I did Romans chapter 8. And last night when I was still trying to get ready for tonight, some things I thought I still can't wrap my head around it. I don't know if anyone can. There's no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. But here it is. I'd like to read, starting off with the first 14 verses. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. I'm going to read to verse 14. And at verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you will die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I'm going to stop there. Before I talk too much more about Romans 8, I just want to talk a little bit about the book of Romans as a whole. We see in chapter 1 that it was Paul, chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, servant of God, who authored the book. And we also see that it is concerning his son, Jesus Christ. See that in verse 3. And it's to the believers in Rome. See that in verse 7. Its message is the gospel of Christ and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. In 1 verse 16, Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And Paul wasn't ashamed, and neither should we be ashamed. It's the power of God, and God is the greatest power that is on this earth. And we should not be ashamed of the gospel. So just briefly, if we look at the whole book of Romans, a couple highlights is that in the first part of the book of Romans, it talks about that everyone is a sinner. All have sinned. It's the heathen have sinned that do not know God. The people who are self-righteous have also sinned. They're not right before God. The Jews cannot be made right to God on their own. And all people, all have sinned. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then in that's the first five chapters. And then 5 through 8, it talks about, that's in our salvation. And then 5 through 8, talking about living in Christ Jesus. Then 9 through 11, talking about God's plan for Israel and his salvation for them as well. And then 12 to the end, talking more on living, examples of living this salvation. So back to chapter 8. I guess I kind of worded that a little confusingly, but back to chapter 8. The theme I would like to speak on is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There is condemnation to those who are not in Christ Jesus. So how can we be the ones who are not in condemnation? If we go back to chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." I'd also like to mention that there's an accuser of the brethren, which is Satan. And he can have no power for in Christ Jesus. If we look at Revelations 12, verse 10. Revelations 12:10. "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ. Now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." Luke 22, verse 30, it's when Jesus prayed for Peter. Verse 31. "Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren." So the whole thing here in Romans 8 is that it's not by ourselves. It's not us that can keep us from condemnation. And it talks about the law. We're not free by the law. If we go to Galatians chapter 5, it explains this quite well. In verse 16 and 17. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are the contrary one to another, so you cannot do the things that you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So we can't be both. We can't be under God. We can't be saved and be sinners. We are either doing it on our own strength, or we're doing it in Christ Jesus. Now, the works of the flesh, some of the things mentioned are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions and heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It's not by the flesh that we can be saved from condemnation, or not by the law, and it's not by the flesh. We're not made free by the flesh. If we go back to Romans 7, just before chapter 8 here, Paul has this fairly well-known passage where he talks about how he wants to do what is right, but he can't do it. And I'd like to read that, starting at verse 11. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. So we see the law is good. It's like a signpost. If there is a cliff up ahead, and there's a road, and the sign says, warning, steep cliff ahead, dead end, it's still not going to be able to stop a truck that may be coming over a hill at a high rate of speed. The sign tells you what's right, but it's not going to stop us from going over the edge of the cliff. And that's like the law. It's good and it's right, but it can't save us. Verse 13. Was then that which is good made death in me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not, and what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent to the law that it is good. Now it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil that I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. And there again, we can't do it on our own strength. The law can't do it. It has to be in Christ Jesus. In verse 6, The last part, it says, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. If we go back to Galatians again, where we left off in chapter 5, we stopped at verse 21. Now if we go to verse 22, we see the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are in Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. For if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And I'll just read a verse from John 14. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God's peace is not like what we get out of doing good things on our own. It's not on something that we earned. Psalm 34 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. It's a peace that passes all understanding, and it's there's a joy in something that can't be taken away from us, because it's not based on our circumstances, and we can have a purpose in life. It's not aimlessly walking around without a purpose, but God has set for us to walk in the power of His Spirit. Philippians 4 to 9 say it quite well. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. So there's the joy of the Lord. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. In the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So back Romans chapter 8 again, now looking at verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. And God can use the evil and the difficult things in life for good. We see this in the life of Joseph when he had his brothers throw him in the pit. He then went to Egypt. He worked for Potiphar. And then he got thrown in jail. And then he eventually became next to Pharaoh. If he hadn't been thrown in the pit, he never would have went to Egypt. If he hadn't been put in jail, Pharaoh would not have called for him. He wouldn't have interpreted the dreams for the two king's men. So it's not that we want to do evil or that evil is a good thing, but God can take even these difficult things and still use us. and he can use them for his glory. And we talked about this morning in 1 John. That in chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So it's not that we, once we've trusted in God for salvation, it's not that we are not going to ever sin again, because we will. But this doesn't mean we can't be used by God. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And perhaps that there's been things in the past that we might say, well, now I'm not able to be used by God because I did this, and then I thought I got over it, and then, well, this morning I made the same mistake again, and I confessed it, and well, then this afternoon I made the same mistake. So how can God use us? In our own strength, we can't be used by him, but in God's strength, he can take those mistakes and he can work in our lives and use us in even a greater way than perhaps we could have been used before. In 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11, we read about some of these people. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And 11, verse 11. And such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So we're faced with a choice. Are we going to seek to please God by our flesh? Are we going to seek to please God by obeying the law and doing the best we can? Well, the Bible says that there's no one that does good. We can never reach God's satisfaction. But again, it says there's no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. So are we in Christ Jesus? I have a little bit of an illustration here that I'm going to do here. So I have a jar here, it's clear, and I like to say this could represent the power of God. It's perfect. We have here the power of sin. It's dark, And then we have us, which is contaminated by sin. Make sure I get these right. I think this is the one. Find out in a minute. So that's the power of God. And here we have ourselves, or contaminated. Then I have some good works here. This could be ourselves. This could be the flesh in the law. So this is good in itself. I can drink it. But no matter how hard we try, it's still dirty. And we can go on, and we can never make ourselves right before God, and it's hopeless. But if we're in Christ Jesus, he says, no condemnation. And when his power is in us, then we're made clean. We're still going to sin. But his power in us has made us clean, and it will keep us faultless before him in his sight. So we are without condemnation before him. So I don't spill any of this, I'll put the lids back on. And there we have it. We can't be both. We can't be a prisoner or be free. We're either in prison or we're out of the prison. If I was in jail and I got a pardon and I was set free from jail, I'm not in prison anymore. It's one or the other. And that's how it is. We're either in Christ or we're not in Christ. And those who are in Christ don't need to be walking after the flesh. We're walking after the Spirit. We're not doing good works to save ourselves. It's not of the flesh. It's not of the law. It's in Christ Jesus. And we will want to walk in Christ Jesus. We'll be walking after the Spirit. So there is a verse in Hebrews 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God, of the throne of God. He's the author and he's the finisher. Another thing that I just want to point out here, it's God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit is in the one verse. Verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. We have the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. And it's because Christ is perfect that he could pay the penalty that we deserved. Then we can be presented faultless before the Lord Jesus. We're not condemned any longer. The price has been paid. Jude chapter 1, verse 24. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence, before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. It is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And we are presented faultless. He's able to keep us. There's a song in here I'm just going to read. Number 368. Not what these hands have done can save this guilty soul. Not what this toiling flesh has borne can make my spirit whole. Not what I feel or do can give me peace with God. Not all my prayers or sighs or tears can ease this awful load. Thy love to me, O God, not mine, O Lord, to thee, can rid me of this dark unrest and set my spirit free. No other work save thine, no meaner blood will do. No strength save that which is divine can bear me safely through. I praise the God of grace, I trust his love and might. He calls me his, I call him mine, my God, my joy, my light. Thy work alone, my Savior, can ease this weight of sin. Thy blood alone, O Lamb of God, can give me peace within. No condemnation in Christ Jesus. It must be in Christ Jesus. If we're in Christ Jesus, we cannot be condemned. And I'm just going to finish now reading the last part of the chapter from verse 31 and on. And just think about, we're not condemned in Christ Jesus. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed. All the day long we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And just again, there is no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Are we in Christ Jesus? Have we placed our trust in him? And if we have, there's nothing that can separate us. Let's just close in prayer. Dear Lord God, we thank you that you made the way possible for us to be set free from what we deserved. And we thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus, who is perfect, for sending him to die in this world on the cross and pay the penalty that we could never pay. We pray that we would never forget this, and we would live in this victory, and that you would use us to bring honor and glory to your name. So we commit all that was said here this morning, and pray that your word, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, would speak here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.